who Jesus is. What about you? Amen. I do not take my role as a pastor lightly. I remember sitting in a chair in a single wide mobile home at the head of Thompson Cove, where my great-grandpa lived at one time. Some of you have heard the grandpa story. I'll tell it one of these days. It's about 11 o'clock at night, and Sherry had Aaron laying on her chest, an infant, not very old at all. And sitting there in that bedroom in that old brown chair, I felt that the Holy Ghost overshadowed me. She was asleep. The Lord came upon my heart and confirmed to me that this is what I have planned for you, is to preach the gospel. I didn't go looking for it, didn't plan on doing it, had no inclination it was going to happen. I was happy being a redneck. I was happy chewing tobacco. And I was happy with my pickup truck. I was content. I just wanted me a good woman. And God gave me a good woman, saved my soul, cleaned my mouth out. She said, I ain't kissing you with that mess in your mouth. And called us to ministry. And that was somewhere around 1984, in that thereabouts. It's been a while ago. And I've never taken what I do for granted, not one day. Because if God can use a donkey, God can use me. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go read the story of Balaam in the Bible. God can use anybody that's willing to be used. I never had the opportunity to go to Bible college. I went to Lee University some in Charlotte. I don't have a master's degree in nothing. I don't have a PhD in philosophy. But years ago, I had a pastor's wife tell me when I was working hard. I worked bivocational 20 years, guys. Bivocational. Drove a dump truck. Worked as a welder, worked at Pepsi, worked at Coca-Cola. But I had a pastor's wife one time say something to me that made a lot of sense to me. She said, you don't need a degree in nothing, but just obey God. She said, if anybody says anything to you, you tell them you got a degree in neology. She said, I said, what are you talking about? She said, you've been on your knees in God's presence. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes. I know it's a quarter till. I'll let you out by quarter till, but I'm not going to tell you which one. I'm going to be gracious this morning. I want to sow into you, and I want you to somehow or another believe in me today. And what I feel like God wants us to do in 2023. I didn't go looking for a theme. I didn't go looking for anything. But I believe that God began to speak to me several weeks ago about today and about what we can do moving forward. So if you open your Bible, you can turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. Anything I do, I want it to be biblical based, okay? I want you to understand that I don't want to just say something randomly because it's thematic and because it just sort of sounds good and I think it'll work. I want you to see it for yourself in the scripture. I want you to see it biblically. I want to read the scripture, and it's lengthy in reading this morning, but I think it's necessary for what we're doing here today. This again is the early church. It's Peter after Pentecost. After they were stumbling out of the upper room. I wish we would stumble a little more now, every now and then. They were stumbling, and there was such a manifestation of the glory of God on them as they come out of the upper room. And all of those that looked upon them began to equate the signs, if you will, to a drunkenness. Staggering, stammering lips, other tongues. And the people all around them looked at them and said they were like drunk men. Peter come back, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but Peter came back and Peter told them, they're not drunk as you suppose. Didn't say they wasn't drunk. They were drunk on new wine. They'd done and been in the tipsy, if you will. They done and got themselves intoxicated. I kind of wish we'd get intoxicated again in the church on the new wine. Don't cut that clip right there and just use that clip. We need to be intoxicated on the new wine. Come on, somebody. And Peter came back and Peter told them, they are not drunk as you suppose, because it's only the ninth hour of the day, just early in the morning. Early in the morning, I think it's just early in the morning. They came out of that upper room, and when they came out of that upper room, things begin to happen. And then Peter again began to expound upon them, and Peter told them that this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. That it would come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters prophesy and dream dreams and see visions. But God says, if you look below that in Acts 2 as we move forward, he says, but I will pour out of my spirit on your handmaidens and on your sons and your daughters. They'll prophesy. God did something at that point in history that had never been done, that was prophesied prior to that taking place. God says, I'm going to impact the world by my spirit. We think about the word impact, and the word impact is what I believe God gave me for 2023. The word impact. I-M-P-A-C-T. And the reason that I said that is simply this. That God called this early church to impact their world. God called that early church to impact their families. God called that early church to impact their communities. God called that early church to impact their environment. Everyone in this room, at some point, some way or another, we've been called to impact those around us. When we look at this word impact, it is a word that actually means an action of one object coming forcibly in contact with another object, person, etc. So when I was working on this throughout the week and I was processing it, I thought to myself, this is what God has called the church to do today. We're to impact the lost and the dying world. We're to impact the world. The Bible teaches you and I that we're not to be like the world or of the world. That's another message for another time. But he calls us to be salt, Brother Steve, salt on the earth. Brother Steve's got a message he's going to preach about that soon, hopefully. He's called us to be salt on the earth. He's called us to impact the earth. He's called us again to be light in the midst of darkness, to impact. When I began to read this early church, I found myself getting excited when I read it, because we pick this up in Acts chapter number 4. And we had this man by the name of Peter. Peter, that same Peter that was cursing, that same Peter that was denying, that same Peter that heard the rooster crow and he went out and the Bible says he wept. And it's the same Peter that later that was filled with the power and the Spirit of God. And when the Holy Ghost impacted his life, it changed him forever. Let me say this, it's off the record, but it's true. That if you ever have a touch of God, if God ever touches your life in the radical way that God wants to touch your life today, your life will ever be changed to His glory. When we read this story, when we read this event, not a story, but this event, we pick up there and you can read a lot of the other stuff, but we're going to pick up in verse number 8 of Acts 4, and it says, then Peter, what's that next word? Filled. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the power of God. Said unto them, you elders, or you rulers, excuse me, and people and elders of Israel. Verse 9, he makes a reference back to the impotent man that was laying at the gate. And he said, if we this day be examined of this good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Watch this, verse 10 says, be it known unto you, all and all the people of Israel, I love this, that by the name, that's what it says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, he says, whom God raised the third day or from the dead, and even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, what is that talking about? Again, we're going to work through a whole lot of stuff over the next several Sundays. In other words, you go back and you look back at Peter's testimony of the lame man laying there at the gate in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John coming by, notice what they were doing. They were going up into the temple at the hour of prayer. They were a praying church. I believe they knew the importance of prayer. I believe they knew. I think it was far more than ritualistic. I think it was a desperate plea from a desperate people to have God touch their life. And again, when we think about prayer, and I'm getting ahead of myself, way ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I don't believe we have to get before God and weep and weep and weep and weep and weep and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and beg and plead and plead and plead and plead and plead in order for God to hear us. He hears you when you come before Him with an honest heart. I don't think you have to have a certain decibel in an orator to be able to lift your voice really, really loud or really, really soft. That's a whole different dynamic of what I want to get into later. But God looks at our hearts. And when Peter and John went up to the temple in the hour of prayer, here this lame man was laying there at the gate begging alms, begging. And then Peter and John looked at him and they said, hey, look upon us. Looky here. We got something that we need to tell you about. It's the greatest name above every name. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name that's given above every name. Oh, He's our Emmanuel. We sing about it at Christmas time. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our healer. He's our way maker. He's a miracle maker. Come on, church. When that God comes on the scene of the church in 2023, come on now, I believe that we're going to see phenomenal things happen in the church. I still believe that God wants to do something in the church and through the church. So here is Peter. Again, he tells him, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. When Peter was giving testimony to those that were about him, the Jews there, he comes back and he begins to tell them about this Jesus. So that's the first thing I want to talk about here for just a few moments this morning. If there's ever been a day and an hour that the church needs to impact our world, it is the day and the hour that we're living in by preaching no other name but the name of Jesus. Now, let me back up for just a second, getting the cart ahead of the horse. So in our text today, we see this again. Peter preaching and Peter telling them about the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He comes there in the middle of verse number 10 and he says, "Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Verse number 11, he goes back and he says, "This is the stone which is set at naught of the builders, of you builders, which has become the head cornerstone." Verse number 12 is a scripture that we've often used. And it said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Verse 13 says this, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled." Our world today is looking at the church. The world today is looking at you. The world today still thinks we're kind of loco, if you will, kind of ludicrous of us to believe in the name that we believe in. The world today is still bumfuzzled, and there's a word you can write down for a definition later. They're still confused about how that we preach the name of Jesus. But yet today, I believe with everything within me, if we're going to impact the world, and you're going to hear that word over and over and over again, if we're going to impact our world today, listen, church, there's got to be a settled fact to begin with this morning as we step off into this over the next several weeks. There's not another name. That's about three of you. There's not another name that we should be preaching. There's not another name to proclaim. There's not another name to preach in. There's not another name to teach in. And everything we do in the Christian church today, if we're going to impact the world as it did in their day, they preach the name of Jesus. So we think about this today and we think about what is it going to take to impact our world today. My friend, cut the chase, get to the bottom, level the playing field. Hey, if it is not done today through and by the power of Jesus Christ, it is not going to be done. Amen. It is all, everything we do as a church, as a person, everything we do, it must be centered around the Lordship of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we're going to impact our community, if we're going to impact the community and the environment around, even our church, it's got to be done in the name of Jesus. And our vision today, what we say we believe in, where we're going and how we're going to chart the course forward, it's got to be all done to glorify that one name that's above every name. And his name today is still Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. So we think about this scripture today. We think about what's going on. When we look in the scripture again, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. And then they marveled, they scratched their head at the message that was being delivered unto them. But yet when we think about this, we think about the simple fact, if you will, the Bible teaches us here that they could not say anything against Peter and John at all. The message of Christ, even then, it impacted the world. You can go back and I'll get into it a little bit later on, not right now, but you can read over in the book of Acts and in Acts 16 along through there. And they had came and they had arrested some of the disciples. They had forbade them to speak in the name of Jesus. They had forbade them to preach in the name of Jesus. Told them to not do it. Guess what they did? They went out once again in the net and they began to preach in the name of Jesus. And here's what happened there. And all the people, the Jews and all the people that was gathered around there, they were at the house of Jason. They came out and they were going to arrest him and they were going to have another martyrdom right there. And God didn't let them do it. But this is what they said there. Brother West, you know this in the scripture. And I love this. And it says this in paraphrase. These are those that have turned the world upside down. Now, I don't know how that hits you today. But that early church impacted their environment so much that they were known as the ones that were ignorant and unlearned. And they took knowledge of them. And they could not say nothing against them. Why? Because God was working with them. And they knew without shadow of a doubt that what they were doing was a supernatural power of God. Somebody says, well, what is the supernatural power of God? I'll tell you what it is. It's when the super touches the natural. When you have the super and you have the natural, and when the super and the natural, my God, I'm getting ready to shout. He said, when the super and the natural come together, we're going to have the supernatural. Amen. Amen. And when you and I, we become putty in the hands of God, we become clay in the hands of God, like Isaiah of old that was in the temple in the year that King Uzziah died. And the Lord said, who will go? Who can I see? And Isaiah looked at him, jumped up and down, got God's attention, and said, hey, God, if you can use anything, here I am, use me with all my faults, with all my failures, with all my disappointments. Here I am, God, use me. And I believe today if the church, I don't care what background you have, I don't care where you come from, what you've done, where you've been, if you will become clay in the hands of the potter today, God can do in you like he did in the book of Jeremiah when he said, I went down to the potter's house and he began to wrought a work on his will. And the first one was marred. That's the old sinful nature of humanity. He said, but I put him back on the wheel. I put my light in him. I saved him. I sanctified him. I glorified him. I changed him. And as a result, a vessel that is usable. If we're going to impact our world today, we've got to be a church. Come on, somebody. That's usable. You say, well, we do it this way or we do it that way. Well, hallelujah to the Lamb. We might be doing it some new ways. You may be the one scratching your head and saying, why is that preacher doing it like that? I ain't never seen it done like that. Well, who gave him permission to do that? Come on, somebody. Can I say something and not be disrespectful? Don't put me under your thumb. As long as I'm not doing things sinful and I'm not doing things out of order or anything that would put my integrity in jeopardy, just let me do what God calls me to do. Amen. Me and Brother Chris, we may not ever done things the way that it's been done. So what? I'm on a tangent now. I need to get control. So what? Well, that's not the way we've always done it in the church of God. So what? The way we've always done it might not have been working, folks. Kick that can again. I think I will. We need to do things in a measure. Come on now. That impacts our society. We are in a changed society. Young people today, they got more brain in their hand than they've ever had in all of their days. We're still trying to use old methods. Not the message. Methods change. The way we do it, it changes. Methods change. But my friend, we got to understand, the message must remain intact. We got to preach Jesus. If we're going to impact the world, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm going to get myself in trouble on the first day of the year. I am going to get myself in trouble. It works at different places, different ways. Different parts of the country. Different, you got your urban, you've got your cities, you've got your, different things work in different places. Now I'm getting ready to just make somebody Chris is going to blow their mind. If a smoke machine works in somebody's church, to God be the glory. Leave them alone. If that's their thing, leave them alone. And I know the next question, you're going to say, well, preacher, you're going to get a smoke machine. No. If there's any smoke shows up in here, it's going to be the Shekinah glory of God. It's going to be the Holy Ghost smoke. Amen. I don't need that. And we got lights. And somebody asked me why we did this and why we did that. I don't know. It just did. Sometimes it's just dead. But my point is this. The glory's not in the smoke. The glory's not in the lights. The glory's not in any of those things. It will enhance our ambiance or our experience, if you will, maybe. I don't know. But don't take Jesus away from me. Don't take Jesus out of it. Don't take Jesus out of it. If we, whatever we do, we've got to make sure if we're going to impact a world in front of us, we've got to do that the way they did it in the New Testament, and that is simply because they preached Jesus unto them. If y'all will give me just a few more minutes, I'll try to get done. One of the things that I understood as I read through all of this is this early church, y'all ready for this? Was a preaching church. So whatever we do to impact our society today, it's going to be through the proclamation, the preaching, to preach. Preach means to proclaim. Everybody don't have to be loud like me. I'm just that way. I've apologized for it till I'm sick of apologizing for it. I just got to be me, folks. Sometimes I get boisterous and sometimes I get loud. I was raised under Ronald Dotson that shook his head and shook and preached like a wild man for 45 minutes. And then he took a break and he preached again, didn't he? I mean, Brother Dotson was wild. Well, he's a wild man. Good preacher, wonderful preacher, my mentor. But I got a little bit older and I thought, I need to chill out. I told you the story behind that. I'd preach like a wild man, like a bull out of a gate, get done, get to the end of the service, Barney, and I didn't remember what I preached. So how in the world does somebody else remember it? I'd rather you know what I'm preaching today. So the nugget here this morning, if we're going to impact our society, if we're going to impact our world, if we're going to impact our neighborhoods, if we're going to impact our communities, we've got to do that through the proclamation of the Word of God. We've got to preach the Word of God. Are y'all okay? I'm only going to preach point one this morning. I'm not even going to get into the prayer thing. Just on preaching. Preaching impacted them. Peter preached. He proclaimed. Paul is another example of this. If you begin to look at the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and 16, Paul says this. And you can read 16, 17. He says in the Word of God, Paul opens this up there. Paul says, for I am not ashamed. Come on, church. Woo! If we're gonna reach a lost and a dying world, we can't be ashamed. Where you go to church? What? Where do you go to church? What? Tell them boldly. I'm a Pentecostal. I go to the Thomasville Church of God. I believe the Bible. I believe what God says. I go to the Church of God in Thomasville. You don't have to be ashamed. You ought to be able to hold your head up proudly and say, hey, I know what God has done for me. God filled me and God thrilled me. And when God did it, nobody can change your mind about what God has done. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So if we're going to impact our world again, this is Paul Hey, if it's good enough for Paul, Paul did it. We've got to use it. Do it. Paul said, for it's the power of God. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. What's the first thing we've got to do if we're going to impact our community? Somebody say it with me. We've got to preach. No matter how that comes out, you don't have to yell. You don't have to scream. You might do it in a letter to somebody, a letter of encouragement. You might be a prayer ambassador, whatever it is. But you've got to proclaim who Jesus is. 2023, we've got to preach. Not just a pulpit. No, I'm going to get into another area. But we got to preach in the choir. When we sing these songs of heaven, when we sing these songs of hope, what you're doing is you're preaching and you're proclaiming what Jesus is doing. This choir's preaching. This praise team is preaching. Pastor Chris is preaching. Sherry's preaching. Horace is preaching. You've always wanted to. You're preaching. You're proclaiming Jesus to your different groups throughout the church. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Come on, Jody. I got to rock this thing down. He says, unto salvation. Again, that early church, neither is there given any other name among you whereby you must be saved. It's still the name of Jesus. Period. You say, is other churches doing that? Sure they are. There's good people and good everywhere if they're preaching Jesus. I ain't hung up on denomination. I've told people I'm in the church of God because that's where God put me in his body. That's where God put me. That's where I'm supposed to be. That don't mean anybody else ain't doing it. But this is what our assignment is. Impact. Number one, Kathy, preach. Are we okay? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... Woo! You got it. Hallelujah. You passed the test today. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. How can we go? How can we do this? How can we hear except there be a preacher? He said, precious are the feet of those... I got precious feet today. They carry the good news. Praise God. If I had another hour, I'd preach a second part of this thing right now. Let's not forget the gospel, folks. Listen to me. Whatever we do, every department needs to listen to me as a pastor, as a visionary going forward in 2023. Well, I don't care what you do. You tie Jesus to what you're doing. Come on, somebody. Meals are good. Parties are good. Swinging from a grapevine's good till you fall off of it. But I tell you what, activities are good. But it all has got to tie back to the vision of preaching the gospel. Let me wrap this up right here. Again, when Paul was saying in the scripture, and you look at the latter part of that, to the Jew first and everyone that believes. In verse number 17, Paul finished this up and he says this in the scripture. 16:17. She'll get it. I think. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's not what I see that drives me because of what I know that's in my heart. I'll pick back up on this at some point. But I've got to leave this part with you because we want to talk about our prayer ambassadors. What's the second thing that this early church did? Not only did they preach, but they what? They prayed. If we're going to impact our world, our church, people, if we're going to do what God's called us to do, we got to pray. Prayer is the gasoline in the tank. It's the thing that drives us is prayer. And there's many other things that could go along with that. The Holy Spirit and the energy of the dunamis, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But right now, we're talking about praying. Let me read this scripture to you, and I'll let you go to Hardee's. He says here at the latter part of this scripture text, he said, again, Peter preaching this whole thing. And he says, and now the Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto the servants, this is verse 29, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Again, speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. That's Acts 4 and 30. Look in verse 31. I love this. It says, and when they had prayed, when they had prayed, hey, don't get mad at the preacher. This is from Doug Small, not me. One of the things that Doug Small, through Project Pray and Pray America and the different things that Doug Small has done, is that he has tried to format and implement ways and measures of prayer that goes beyond just handing God our list of things that we want God to do. Because a lot of times that's all we understand. But there's much, much more to it than just that. It's that intimate focal point that we have when we come into God's presence. But yet, as Bobby was praying a while ago, Bob said it plain and simple. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek me and you shall find me. There's a scripture that's an anthem of my own heart. That's Jeremiah 29 and 13 that simply says, seek me and you shall find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. It's going after God, folks. Prayer is going after God. It's not handing God a to-do list. It's your heart going after the heart of God. And if we're going to impact our world today, when the world sees this church, they've got to know that we've got, my God, have mercy. We got something going on the inside of us, and we want to see the glory of God. We want to see salvations. We want to see families. Another part of what God's dealing with me about is where I'm going down the road a little bit, is dealing with families. How many of you would love to see your family saved? How many of you would love to see your family sitting with you in church? Come on, somebody. But until we're able to do that, we need God. And he said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. God manifested his glory. He said they were shaken. And it said where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. God so impacted them that when they would go from place to place and city to city and place to place, they impacted everything that they touched. Now, I don't know about you. And again, it might be my observation and just me. I don't know. Have you ever felt as a Christian? Have you ever felt as a church member? Have you ever felt as a church attendee that you kind of get a little bit dry? Let's be real. You kind of get a little bit gray, and you kind of just sort of don't have the fire that you one time had, and you don't have the joy of the Lord that you one time had, and the devil tells you, and why you even go, and is it really worth it? And we just go, and we, like somebody told me the other day, we go through the same routine every week. This was not here, and it was not in this city. It was in another place. And I said, so really, you're not just in a routine. You're kind of in a rut. And my mama said, a rut? Oh, well, I said who it was, wasn't it? Sorry. I told my mother, I said, a rut? I said, you got to get out of that rut. You got to get out of that rut. But isn't it easy to get into a rut? Isn't it easy to come into the church and just do the same thing, the same way? And one time I was told the definition of insanity is doing things the same way and expecting different results. And I truly believe as we move forward that if we want to see families saved, we got to start praying for families. Not only do we need to start praying for families, we need to be working in ministry in this church. Are you ready? We need to be developed. You're smart people. Y'all are helping me become smarter, but you're smart people. We need to be working with strategies and ways to implement ministry and ideas and concepts that's going to draw and to bring young families and new families into this church. But we've got to get over the concept of I had it my way. I want it my way. It's not going to be your way. Somebody said, well, it'll be my way or the highway. Bye. Because it ain't going to be your way. It ain't going to be my way. I'd rather have it God's way. Hello? I know this was a lot today. I'm going to have to get the tape and re-listen to all this. I know it's a lot. But it's just about being what God put in my heart. We've got to come up with strategies, concepts, and ideas and methods to reach folks. You say, well, you ought to be happy. You're the biggest church on the district. I want to be like Reinhard Bonnke, Brother Robert. I thought about this the other day. Reinhard Bonnke, one time, I seen him in Greensboro, I believe it was, and he said, I want to stand at the mouth of hell with a detour sign that says, do not enter. I don't care how many people attend. If it's this many or 500, I'm still going to be looking for one more soul. We've got to have the mandate of soul winning reestablished in the church. Now, if you'll stand with me, I'll do everything I can to hush. I wonder who's going to be praying. I wonder who my prayer ambassadors is going to be. I wonder who I'm going to be calling. Let's say it's a Thursday and it's February the 15th. That's an example. I'm really having a bad day. I've got a prayer ambassador on that prayer calendar out there. On February the 15th, did I say that? I'm gonna look, or I'm gonna have Kay say, Kay, who's our prayer ambassador of the day? Well, it's Sandra Neely. I'm gonna say, how about calling Sandra? And I'll say, no, better yet, I'll call Sandra. I'll call Sandra up, and I'll say, Sandra, this is Pastor. Will you pray with me? You're the prayer ambassador of the day. I really need somebody to agree with me. I need somebody to come in agreement with me. Will you pray for me? Sandra said, Brother Green, I'll be praying for you the rest of the day. And Sandra will go into praying for her pastor. That's the concept. Whew. Whew. I feel like I've just drained all of it out. I've had this in me for days and days and days and days and days. I love you guys. You've been here almost 13 years. Has that ever diminished? Friend, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It's grew. But when you're on the outside of that fellowship hall over there, you don't even know what that building is, and you and your wife are sitting in a black 2010 Nissan truck, or 2006 rather, Nissan truck, and you pray, and you physically feel God touch your heart. Physically feel it. Physically. And you look at your wife in the truck seat and say, did you feel that? And she says, as a matter of fact, I did. God physically touched me. I've never felt that before. So how could my love for you diminish when God appointed me here to be your pastor? And I love you more today, as Sherry says, and you say, well, that's just a sales pitch. Get over that. I'm not a salesman. You're just trying to manipulate. Get over that. Please. Get over that. Know that it's genuine love for you and genuine care. Yeah, we're just waiting on you to part for the next joker to come to town. Get over that. Just wipe that out of your mind. We know how you preachers are. Just get out of that. You feel better? You think we can impact our city? You think we can impact families? Look around you. I'm going to say this and I'm done. One time I heard it said that charity starts at home. How many of you have ever heard that old cliche? In other words, you better take care of y'all before you take care of somebody else. Can I ask you to look around this room? This is your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Don't ever let me hear you backbiting another person. Because if you do, I'm going to get you and them together. And I'm going to say, look at here. They just said this about you. And either you're going to deny it in front of them and in front of me. I don't want to hear it. Save that for somebody else. I don't want to hear it. My ears is not a garbage can. If you have a legitimate concern, yes, absolutely. But don't just tear people down. Don't hurt people. Help people. Amen. I love you. Get out of here. Have a good day. Lord, may you